We're going to look at Psalms 118 tonight. If you want to, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Psalm 118. We're going to be there. We're not going to be bouncing around to any other scriptures. This was written by David, and one of the things, when I read this, I think of what was going on in David's mind, in his life, when he penned these words. It is a prayer, it is a plea, it is a reflection of the things in his mind. And I read one place that Psalms 113 and 114 would be sung on the Passover before the meal. On the yearly Passover, that the families or the people together at the Passover would sing Psalms and recite it, 113 and 114, before the meal. And after the meal, they would sing 115, 116, 117, and 118 after the Passover meal. And I was thinking, this would have been the last thing that Jesus and his apostles would have sung before they broke up the meeting and he went to the garden to pray the night that he would be arrested and then stand trial and be crucified the next day. And it just, when I was thinking not only of David with the enemies that he had, with Saul and then the Philistines and all of the things he dealt with and the personal anguish that he had, what a release. Like I said, this is part reflection but part prayer to God also on his behalf. And then when I think of this was the last scriptures that as a group Jesus and his followers would have gone over, and I'm thinking of the anguish Jesus would have felt when they recited this. But Psalms 118 verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever." You know, you see this almost building scripture here. David is giving thanks to the Lord, and then he expands it, "Let the house of Aaron give praise to the Lord." And then even farther, and I don't know if he was thinking this or not, but for us today, how the mercy of the Lord transcended just the, you know, more than just the Israelites, how it expanded to the Gentiles, including us, and how, you know, let those who fear the Lord, everybody that fears the Lord, not just the Jews, you know, and let them now say, his mercy endures forever. And that's how this starts off. "I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" We see David not relying on himself when he was in distress, when it just seemed like this whole world was caving in around him. He called on the Lord in his distress. I know, and I know where my son gets it. Bobby, when he was growing up, would, as a little kid, would try to help him do something. "Me can do it myself. Me do it myself." Well, I know where he gets it from. Me, I know I don't rely on the Lord as much as I should. And David, this was his go-to. When he was in this distress, he would call upon the Lord. And he said, the Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. As a former shepherd, that would mean something to him. A broad place. It's safe. It's open. You can see. You can see enemies coming. There's no ambush. A broad place as a shepherd, it's usually a valley. And there would be grass and stuff for the sheep. For a shepherd, a broad place is good. It's not a rocky cliffside. It's not a treacherous path. It's a broad field. And he goes on to say, the Lord is on my side. He's confident about this. He called on the Lord in distress. And he answered him, and he knows the Lord is on my side. And he asks kind of a rhetorical question here. He knows the answer. What can man do to me? What can they do? If all man's got, throw it at me. That's what he's saying. God is on my side. There is nothing man can do that I fear, because the Lord is on my side. The Lord is for me, among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. The Lord is for me, among those who help me. Our brothers and sisters, we can act on behalf of God when we're there for each other. When we're there to help, when we're there for a shoulder to cry on, to pray with somebody, to calm somebody down, the Lord is acting through us for our brothers and sisters. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Doesn't David know that? He had been friends with King Saul. King Saul turned on him. It is better to put trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Man can fail us. And if there's one thing I hope you would remember, not from me, just for yourselves, don't let a man, a human, not just man, it could be a woman. Don't let a man come between you and the Lord. There is no body worth going to hell for. There is no body that's worth being, don't let them discourage you. Don't let the failings of man, the frailties of humans, disappoint you and not be able to distinguish between the theory of the church and the frailty of man. Because man will let you down. Man will stumble. And I've seen, unfortunately, too many times people become discouraged at the actions or attitudes of other people and let that affect their walk with God. David understood that it's better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. They will let you down. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like fire, like a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. One of the worst things for a military is to be surrounded. To be surrounded. There's nowhere to go. To everywhere you turn is the enemy. And they don't have to be armed military for your enemies to surround you. It can be the world. Unfortunately, sometimes it can be family. Even worse than that, sometimes it can be your own brothers and sisters that you worship with. They surrounded me like bees, but they were quenched. They were stopped. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. David was not unused to being in a tough situation. As a young man, when he fought Goliath, even though he wasn't surrounded, I'm sure it seemed like he was surrounded, going against a giant. But yet, David put his trust in the Lord, not in man. Because if he did, what person in their right mind would go up against Goliath? You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. Think in your life when obstacles were in your way, maybe even people in your way, and they're pushing you, they're discouraging you, but you've come through it. I think of David. I think of Jesus as he would be reciting this the night that he would be betrayed. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation, not people, not circumstances, not if this happens, the Lord is my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Whatever situation, he will declare the works of the Lord. Whether he's being ganged up on, whether he's surrounded, one, he knows that he will get through it because the Lord's on his side. I shall not die. Now, he's not saying I'm going to live forever. He's a human. He knows he's going to die someday. But he will live. Us. We're gonna pass away from this life someday, but we will live. And we will declare the works of the Lord in our lives. That legacy that David left a legacy for us. He hasn't lived for thousands of years, but he still lives in God's word. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. A lot of times we don't like discipline. I know I didn't when I was young. I don't like it now. I understand it better now. Sometimes you need to be corrected to get better. I don't care whether it's at work. If you're doing something wrong, they correct you to make it better so you'll be better at something. Whether in school, you know, a lot of the kids don't like some of the comments I write on their papers. You know, I'm sure, Hannah, you don't like some of the red markings on, but you probably don't get any red markings, little genius. Nobody likes being corrected, but it's good. Correction is good for us. The people that don't correct their children are doing them a disservice. A disservice. If the Lord did not correct us, if the Lord did not chasten us, he wouldn't love us. He corrects who he loves. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them. And I will praise the Lord. Show me the way, God. God has never, ever left us up to our own to figure things out. He has shown us the way. If he wants us to do something, we don't have to be left groping in the dark of, well, how do we get through this? He has shown us the way. His word, whether it was like in the Old Testament speaking directly to people, or when he's given the word of God through writing, he's always shown us what he wants from us. He's never left it up to us to guess what he wants. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go through it. I will go through those gates, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The confidence that David has in his prayers, in his beseeching God, you are my salvation. You're not going to leave me to fend for myself. And I think of Jesus that night as he would recite this, knowing that in just hours he would go through the biggest trial of his life and God would see him through. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous to our eyes. The cornerstone of everything we believe. The reason why we are here tonight was the Lord's doing. And it was rejected by men. Jesus was rejected by so many people at the time. But it was the Lord's doing, and it was marvelous in our eyes. He goes on to say, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. To acknowledge that, to acknowledge that this day that I have right now is the Lord's and everything in it. And then at the end of the day, to ask yourself, I hope I've reflected the praise of God by the way I've behaved, by the way I've the attitude I've had, by the way I've conducted myself, by the things I've said. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. In this prayer, most of it has been praising God, extolling acknowledgement to God that I know you are with me. This is the only part where David is asking for something. Isn't it easy to get kind of the cart before the horse and ask things of God instead of, you know, it's so easy to see God almost like a Santa Claus figure. Gimme, 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 instead of praise, 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 praise. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. I hope God, every Lord's Day, is pleased by the praise that comes from our assembly. We as brothers and sisters in Christ, when we offer up our worship to him, I hope he is pleased every Sunday by that. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. This is a proclamation. It is not a question. It is not, I hope I do. It is a proclamation pledge. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. This psalm, this prayer, got David through some very, very tough times when it seemed like the whole world was caving in around him. It sustained him. And what sustained him? Prayer to God. And when I think that this was the last psalm that Jesus and his apostles would have recited, and after the prayer and when they departed, he would go to the garden to pray. And a little bit later, he'd be arrested, be beaten severely, tried, convicted in a kangaroo court, and then suffer crucifixion. I like to think that a lot of these words would have been on Jesus' mind as he focused on the Lord as he was dying, knowing that mercy and that the Lord was with him, that God was with him. If you need to respond to the invitation tonight, we have the opportunity. If you need to be baptized, if you need prayers, if you need to repent of sin, never delay any of those. Whether it be prayers, always go to God in prayer. Never delay repentance. And if you need to be baptized, don't delay that. Whatever you need, please come forward while Steve leads us in the invitation song.